Blog Talk Radio.
Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, on Saturday, November 14th, day number 318 of 2015. Today we're going to be looking at this horrible situation in Paris, this terrorist attack, this murder of about 140 people, 150 people in Paris. And as always, when we talk about Europe, when we talk about what is going on over there, we rely on the good counsel, the good conversation with our friends Michael and Rosine, and we'll be chatting with them in just a minute. They both have a very good perspective of what is happening in Europe, and that's why we'll be listening to them in a couple of minutes. I do want to begin, though, of course, by offering our sympathies to the families of all of the innocent in Europe or in Paris over the last 24 hours. You know, when one of the people who was killed, I understand, was a young American college student who was in Paris, studying design, a very pretty young woman. I saw her picture here in the last couple of hours. You know, when you live in a civilized world, you don't expect bombs going off in a football game or soccer game. You certainly don't expect people to bring machine guns to restaurants and start shooting at people. And you certainly don't expect people to come in with machine guns and shoot people at a concert. But that's what happened. That's what happened in Paris. And that's because we're not living, we're not dealing here, I should say, with civilized people. We're dealing with first-rate terrorists, and we have to come to terms with that reality. I think a lot of people are still hiding their head in the sand. And speaking of that, I have a post at the American Thinker on Sunday morning where I talk about President Obama. You know, on Friday morning, this is incredible, on Friday morning, President Obama was on ABC News, and he said that ISIS was contained, that ISIS was contained. And then a few hours, of course, we heard the bombs and the killings in Paris, France. I guess that the chapter, the ISIS chapter in France, didn't get the memo. But I think it's about time, and I think a lot of Democrats are already beginning to talk like this, even though they may not come out publicly and say it. But I think there's a great deal of concern that President Obama is just totally, completely detached from reality. I mean, anybody who says that ISIS is contained is simply not looking at the same world that I'm looking at. So check out my post tomorrow morning over at the American Thinker, where I come down very hard on President Obama, because he's got to get in the game. He's got to get in the game. And I think he's still playing politics with Iraq, just like he is with Guantanamo. And it's time for him to get in the game, because his actions or his inactions are making it very dangerous for me and for all of you listening. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to hear from one of our sponsors, and then we'll be back with Rosine and with Michael. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, and let's say hello to our friends. Rosine, how are you?
I'm very good. How are you doing?
Oh, absolutely great. And, you know, all the lights in the world are turned on tonight. All the girls in the world are turned on tonight because Michael is on, the very handsome Michael. How are you, Michael?
Hi, Silvio. Hi, Rosine. Well, a little bit shaken about what's going on in the world nowadays.
That's exactly right. No, you're exactly right. It's a very, very crazy world. But why don't we begin? I'll just ask each of you. I know you've been on the show before, but I like to ask each one of you just to tell us a little bit about yourself. So, Rosine, please tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I am originally from France, and I am an American citizen. I've been in the state of Tennessee for now 23 years, and I was in New York before. And I am very involved in politics. I am a Republican, and I am also the co-chair of the Memphis Tea Party, and I'm the co-founder of the Tennessee Women for Honest Government, a co-founder of the International Club for Women Against Sharia.
Great. Michael?
Well, I am an American by choice and a conservative by the grace of God.
You always get me with that, Michael. You always get me with that one. That's a great one. I love that line. Keep saying that for the rest of your life.
Like Rosine, I am an American, as I mentioned, by choice, originally from Colombia. I am of German descent. I graduated about a year ago or so from the City University of New York Baruch College with a degree in International Relations and Western Hemisphere Studies. I'm also informally involved in politics. I analyze the political world and, you know, international foreign affairs.
Great. Well, we always rely on both of you when we want to talk about what's going on in Europe, in this case, France, of course, Rosine's home country. But let me begin with Rosine, because as I understand, Rosine, you were actually watching the game between Germany and France, which I believe was the first indication that something was going on. So tell me about that.
Well, it was a very strange situation because I usually go and watch those games on TV. But because my son's television is equipped with international possibility to watch the games. So I went up and I asked him, I said, are you watching France, Germany? He said, oh, no, I can't. And it's not a very important game. No, I don't. I said, okay, well. And I went back, and I went straight live on the radio with RTL, which I am always. And they had their man inside the soccer game. I start listening to the soccer game. You know how the French are with soccer. It's crazy. And all of a sudden, we heard the noise. And the French guy said, oh, we have an explosion outside of the stadium. It looks like an explosion. 2 seconds after, because people, you know, the reporter on the radio was texting from outside Paris to the soccer stadium. And he said there is 4 people dead outside of the stadium by a suicide bomb. And after that, minute after minute, I stayed online and we had the total event that was going on. 4 dead, 18 dead, 30 dead, 80 dead, until finally the last account, 118. I stay on almost all night to listen. And that's the way I could have the last information and try to pass them on the internet as much as I could.
Yes, and in fact, it's so interesting because I am one of your big fans in Facebook, and you posted something which I didn't understand at first. Yesterday afternoon, I was in the hospital with our father who underwent an operation last night. And by the way, let me update people on that because I've had several requests for information. He did well in the operation, had a hip injury, which, of course, when you're 89 years old, those are always more complicated. But he did okay. And because of his age, he's going to be in the hospital probably for a few days, but at least so far so good. But anyway, I was in the hospital. This would have been around maybe 4 o'clock Central Time, and I was checking my Facebook on my little phone, and I see a message from you which I did not understand immediately. You said something that people are rushing out of the stadium, but there's only 2 doors. And I said, "What is she talking about? What is she talking about? I couldn't understand what you were trying to say, you know." And then, of course, a few minutes later, I saw what had happened. And so it was very interesting. At first, I read that and I said, "Man, what is Rosine trying to tell us?" But then, of course, I understand what you were trying to say. But let me go to Michael. Michael, how did you hear about it? I mean, how did you hear about this?
Well, I have a friend who resides in Paris, one of my friends, and he called me through an app called WhatsApp and told me what was going on. I was like, I can't believe it. And I checked the news online, and it was true about what was going on. He actually was close to one of the venues that was attacked, and he posted on Facebook. But he at the same time he called me. And he's like, "Do you know what's going on?" You know, like, "What do you mean, what's going on?" And it was just terrible. He told me about 30 blocks from the Bataclan, which was a venue, an auditorium, a theater, where the most number of victims met their fate with this terrorist.
Right. And by the way, I repeat, one of the victims, I believe, in that concert was a young American woman, a young college woman, college student from California. They had her picture on the news here recently, a very pretty young woman who unfortunately was killed by one of these animals. Let me ask you, Michael, if you could summarize for us before we get into some of the background and what is driving all of this. But tell us as well as much as you know, how many different places were attacked? As I understand, there were six places, right, Michael?
Well, right now they're debating. You know, we're trying to find out what the reality is. Some news venues say six, some other six, seven. What we know is that the attacks were carried out by a group of three different groups, a total of nine individuals. Three of them were suicide bombers. And then you had the three other ones who went to the Bataclan, to this venue, and when they massacred 100-plus people. And the other ones were the ones who went to the shooting rampage against people who are in restaurants. That's what we know right now. We know that the ones in particular, the ones that were in the shooting rampage, they were driving a black car, and the people actually know the brand. It's a Seat. They don't sell it in America. It's a Spanish brand. And that's what we know about that. We also know that passport has been recovered from one of them, from one of the suicide bombers. He's a Syrian passport, and the other one from a gentleman who is from Egypt. The terrorist from Syria, he was registered as a refugee when he first entered Greece. He entered Greece through the island of Lesbos, and he had his fingerprints taken and his passport, of course, photocopied and scanned. And that's why we know who he was. They have not released any names that I know of. The internet has a lot of rumors and pictures of alleged terrorists. But that's basically a prophecy that was fulfilled, unfortunately, with the whole issue of the crisis that right now is going on through Europe.
Right, and we're
going
to get
as well. A rental vehicle with license plate from Belgium was found at one of the venues where this attack happened, and three individuals were actually arrested and trying to cross the border between France and Belgium. That's all we know at the moment.
Right. I want to get into what's happening in Europe, Michael. I know you and Rosine are following this because I read the stuff that you write about all of this. But I just have a couple of general questions because as we were watching the story last night, they said some things that were very interesting. Rosine, before we get to that, though, were you able to speak with any family or friends in Paris over the last 24 hours?
Yes. Well, I spoke because three of our friends were in the Bataclan and they did not make it. So we were able to exchange some of what's happening. The guy apparently, they came in, the three of them, like Michael said, and they were using some Kalashnikov, and they were shooting. People could not get out as fast as they could. If you look also at the video they sent from the reporter from Le Monde that was right there at that time and escaped and took a video from people running outside, it was a massacre. But I have to say something. You know, in France, nobody is armed. It's not by law, you cannot carry. You cannot carry. Now, if those people inside were able to carry, we would not have 100 people dead inside the theater because somebody would have killed those monsters before.
Right. Somebody would have disabled them at the very least and hurt them or whatever. I think that's another, I think, lesson that we have to learn from all of this, that when you have gun-free zones or gun-free countries, these people are, you know, whoever lives there is a sitting duck. And I say that respectfully. Right. And by
they
the way, I say sitting. Sure. But I say sitting duck respectfully. I don't mean to. I'm not being disrespectful of the dead here. But, Rosine, let me ask you a question. I just want to make sure I understand what you said. You said you had three friends inside the concert?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah. Two of them were really on our political group. And the other one is somebody we know very well that was a reporter. He was a lover of music, and he likes to write about music. He's a young fellow, and he just had a baby girl, and he did not make it. So far, he's the three people. One of our couple friends in Paris also had a 16-year-old daughter. This morning, they were calling on people to see if anybody heard about this girl. They went from hospital to hospital. They went to the place where they bring the bodies and they could not find her. As far as I know, tonight they still have no news. The list of the dead is not totally published yet.
Right. So three people that you were indirectly or directly were part of the people who were killed at this concert. Now, where is this concert hall or this place? It's called Bataclan, is that what it's called? And where is it?
Yeah. The Bataclan is in the 11th district of Paris. It's not a bad district at all. It's not what we call a no-go zone, even if they said it does not exist, no-go zone, not at all. It's a place where you have cafe, restaurant, they have the theater, the people come, and it's usually crowded. It's nothing bad. It's not a bad area. It's a popular area.
Right. Because, Rosine, I kept hearing about this 11th district when we were watching the news last night. Mm-hmm. They kept talking about the 11th district, and I had no idea. By the way, is that how they refer to districts in the Paris area, by numbers? Is that how they do it?
Yes. Paris 10th, Paris 11th, 12th. Yeah, that's the way they do.
Michael, Go ahead, Rosine.
Well, there is some districts that are, you know, more fancy than the other.
Sure.
But there is district where you have the artist, you have the musician, you have theater, you have art people, you have young crowd of students that love to live there because there is animation every night. You know, you can go to a different place, to a different restaurant, you know, yeah.
Right, sure. Now, Michael, one more question. We're going to take a break after that, and then let's get into the root causes and what's happening in Europe with the immigration and so on. Michael, anybody that you know was in one of these places unfortunately killed or survived, Michael?
No, other than the person who called me my friend who was three blocks away. No, fortunately for me, no. I didn't
now
have any losses.
The 16-year-old girl that you're talking about, Rosine, I have heard, and again, just watching the news, I don't have any other source, just watching the news, that there are still some dead bodies in the concert hall because some people were crushed there. Of course, I'm assuming you had people running, and when that happens, you know, sometimes people run over, you know, accidentally run over people. Any truth to that?
I don't think it's still the case tonight. I think tonight the theater has been, at least the bodies have been taken out. The problem is that there is 300 people wounded. The count is 80 to 90 are in critical condition. L'Hôpital de la Salpêtrière is very well equipped but could not handle all the wounded. So they have sent those wounded people in different hospitals according to how serious their wounds were. Mm. And it's very difficult to be able to locate somebody right away. This couple has been going from hospital to hospital with no luck yet.
Wow, what a terrible situation that must be. Our sympathies with that couple. Again, a 16-year-old girl missing. What a horrible situation. We're going to take a break. We're going to hear from one of our sponsors, and then when we come back, I want to devote this next segment to what's behind all of this and what's going on in Europe. And I know we've talked with you guys about this before, but we're going to take a little break. We'll come back with Michael and Rosine, and we'll continue our conversation about the killing in Paris. The music of my good friend Carlos Guedes. He's originally from Venezuela, but he lives here in Dallas right now. We have a link to his CD on the show information. Just absolutely great. Carlos has been playing around town and doing quite well, building up quite a fan base as he plays around town. He has a very unique style. He plays the harp, but it's a very unique style. I don't think you've heard it before. Let's bring Denise and Michael back. I want to talk a little bit in this segment about what is going on, you know, what is driving all of this. And I'm going to begin with something I keep hearing in the news when they talk to these military analysts. And we'll go to Michael first. But I keep hearing about the sophistication of these attacks and the very likely possibility, very likely situation that these 7 or 8 killers had support. I mean, somebody had to drive them there. Somebody had to give them guns. Somebody had to pay their bills. So, Michael, your reaction to the sophistication of these attacks?
Well, I mean, the problem right now that Europe has, and in general the entire West, is that we are letting people in and we don't know who they are. And that's the problem that, you know, it surfaces right now with this terrorist attack in France, per se, which at least it is confirmed at least 2 of the terrorists are quote-unquote refugees. France has been characteristic for having had in the past terrorist attacks, and of course these people have support. As we mentioned in previous programs where we discussed about, you know, how Europe works in terms of the Schengen treaties, in which there are no borders. You could freely drive between Portugal all the way to Germany, just like you drive, you know, from Texas to Oklahoma, et cetera, et cetera. That flow on of people, it makes it really difficult to know exactly where they're getting support from. Right now, it appears that at least some of their accomplices reside in Belgium, but it could be very well from France itself. Again, there have been at least 3-4 terrorist attacks in the past year and a half in France. We had the case of this frustrated attack that was, it was, you know, thankfully it was avoided because of the rapid action of three American servicemen that were on vacation in Europe. Then we had the case of this Arab worker who went and killed his boss and beheaded him and killed other people. We had the situation with Charlie Hebdo. It's a very, very chronic problem. I was actually watching last night in France 24 in English. Actually, they were interviewing a former FBI terrorist specialist out of here in New York City. And the guy was saying, no, we shouldn't think that these were highly coordinated attacks. It most likely these are just isolated cases of, you know, people who are terrorists and violent, but nothing centrally organized. Actually, now we know today that's totally the opposite. The attacks were very sophisticated. Apparently, for instance, one of the suicide bombers tried to get into the stadium, but during the pat down, one of the guards was able to identify, you know, that he had a bomb, but the guy ran away and then he blew himself up. So it is very possible that all the terrorist attacks didn't, you know, come to fruition last night. Probably there were, you know, more things planned, that because of the reaction of the authorities and everything, you know, maybe, you know, they had to avoid a couple of those plans. We learned today, for instance, as well, that some people were arrested in the border between Germany and Austria trying to, you know, cross, and apparently they have weapons and explosive, and they are refusing to talk. Apparently that happened last week. So we live in very difficult and dangerous times, and I think that, again, I'm not saying that, you know, the French people deserve this to happen to them. Of course not, that the West deserves this to happen to them, but in many cases we have facilitated this kind of situation because of the policies that we have adopted in the past 20, 30 years, both
Absolutely.
In terms of immigration, both
right.
in terms of immigration and in terms of foreign policy. I don't think nobody's going to tell you that Mr. Gaddafi was a good man. Of course not. Or Mr. Assad is a good man. Of course not. But when Gaddafi was in power in Libya, women could go to, you know, college, could drive. Now you have, you know, Sharia law, black people getting killed in Libya just because they are mm-hmm. blacks. And
right.
this terrible situation, the migrant crisis, and now what's going on in Syria. So it's a very, very dramatic situation.
Right. No, you're exactly right, Michael. And I agree with you 100%. Obviously, nobody deserves something like this. You're exactly right. But there's no question that the policies of the West, political correctness, to say the least, have facilitated. Let me ask you, Rosine, because we keep hearing, I'll just kind of repeat the same question, because we keep hearing on the television these military analysts talking about the sophistication of these attacks. 7 people apparently did it, but there had to be, I'm guessing, there had to be, you know, if 7 of these people, somebody had to drive them there, somebody had to get them the guns. So there had to be a network of these people operating yesterday afternoon, setting up the attacks, and even the possibility, Rosine, that they may be coming from some of these neighborhoods in Paris, known here in the United States or in the West as no-go zones. What do you think of that?
Yes, it's a matter of fact. I heard also directly from the French radio that one of the terrorists was French-born and raised in Paris, and he never went to the Middle East. He was just going to the local mosque. I think he's from one of the suburbs of Paris. Now, I agree with Michael when he says that they are not lone wolves. Each time you hear that, oh, this guy is a little crazy, or he did that by himself, it's not true. Terrorism is very well organized. Let me tell you, give you an example. It's like a government. You see that goes and blows themselves up, or take the Kalashnikov and burst everybody in a cafe. That's the executive branch of the terrorism. They are the ones that are brainwashed in order to do the job. But on the top of it, you have what I call the legislative branch, and that's the most dangerous. That's the people with the brain, the people that are very highly educated. They are not illegal. They come to the country legally, or they are raised in the country. They have the brain, and they are the ones that put up the attack on the paper and give to the executive branch to complete the attack. Now, in order to be able to act like that in the country, I don't know if you learned during the Second World War when the German invaded France. In the occupied France, you had the German, but you had also what we call les collaborateurs. That means it was the French people that was collaborating with the German instead of resist the invader. In the terrorism process, what you have in the collabo is the people that helps them out, and it's the government. Socialist government help those people to do those attacks by forcing the people to political correctness, like you say, or giving them opening mosque, giving them power, and the worst part is introducing them in the government, like we do have in Washington, like we do have now in France. Most of our, we have some senators, we have some ministers that are Muslim and that from other countries, as other country. So it's a full organization. And you cannot have an attack like that without all those three elements present. So,
right.
Who is to blame? I blame the government.
Mm-hmm.
I blame the government that is not strong enough to protect his own people. That's
wow.
What I...
And excellent. Excellent analysis there, Rosine. Let me go to Michael. I know you follow this incredibly well. You too, Rosine. But, Michael, what is the situation with the immigration right now? I didn't think that France was one of the countries that they were coming into like they are Hungary or Poland or some of the others. But what is the situation right now in Europe? How many immigrants are there? And what are some of the countries doing to push this back? And then we'll talk about how this incident in Paris is going to impact the politics in Europe. But tell me what's going on with the immigration, Michael.
Well, the immigration crisis started, I would say, about 3 years ago or so, but it became acute earlier this year. Right now, the countries that are the most affected are the transit countries and the destination countries. The transit countries, you mentioned some of them, Hungary, Croatia, Slovenia. These are the countries that are, you know, the point of entrance to Europe, it will be Greece. From Greece, they go to Macedonia, etc., trying going north and north and north. Some countries, such as Poland, they are totally pretty much, they close their borders to these refugees. They refused to, even though the European Union was trying to force them, was trying to force every single member to accept certain numbers of refugees. But the crisis really started when Trader-in-Chief, I call her Angela Merkel, announced that refugees will be welcome to Germany regardless of the number of people who will go to her country. So when you have that carte blanche, that invitation, an open invitation, is when the flood of people started to become extremely high, and to the point where authorities all over Europe have been overwhelmed. Right now, there are calculations that in the state of Bavaria, of Baviera, the southern state of Baviera in Germany, they receive at least 10,000 quote-unquote refugees every day, which is ridiculous.
Right.
I have family who live, my relatives, most of them live in the area of Stuttgart, which is southwestern Germany, close to the Black Forest, and some of them in the Black Forest. And I was talking to one of them, and we were discussing how in a little town that had about 700 inhabitants, the majority of the population is older, over 50 or so. They only had 3 churches. And talk about the sickness of the modern European man nowadays. The minister and the priest of those churches went ahead, took down all the crosses. In the case of the Catholic Church, they took away all the statues of the, you know, Virgin Mary, Jesus, everything. They devoided the churches of all signs of Christianity, so, and they offered themselves to host this kind of refugees, which defies any kind of, these people are insane. It's
right.
Utterly unbelievable, and that's happening all throughout Europe. In Germany, again, poor people, Germans, are getting kicked out of their, apartments, so they can make a space for the refugees. In Germany, again, high school students, middle school students, elementary school students are being forced to pretty much serve to these illegal immigrants. They are forced to, cook for them, make up their... And this is all over the news. You don't have to believe me, but it sounds like we are reading out of 1984. It's utterly unbelievable. And now, because the German system is so overwhelmed, we have a politician from the CDU party, the Christian Democrat Union, which is, center-right, saying, well, I think that we should have a mandatory one-year service for university graduates so they can come and serve and help the refugees. So it is something that defies, all kind of reason. Germans should see what's going on in France right now. Because German, they have a population of Turks, but they don't have that big of a Muslim population as the French have. And they should see the writing on the wall. But on the contrary, they just want more and more of this. And it's getting totally out of hand. The last comment I'm going to make about this is Germany, it's poised to spend $22 billion, not million, billion dollars, on the refugees this year alone. It's pure madness.
Right. Rosine, let me ask Rosine. Can I ask Rosine a quick question? When these refugees come to France, Rosine, do they immediately qualify for what we call the very generous welfare state in France?
Yes, they do. You call them refugee, you call them immigration. I just call them invader and planned invasion. This would never happen without the consent of the government. This
Very
is planned to destroy Europe. Because you have, like Michael said, the Madame Merkel, Monsieur Hollande, they open the door and they give money. Now, in France, and Michael is going to agree with that, I think, we have some mayor of the Front National and some other, I have to say that, from the right wing, that don't want refugees. The government, Paris, is sending them maybe 100, 200. There was a little city the other day in Brittany that is a city of 100 people, and they were sent 150 refugees, very few. Some of the mayors are totally standing against bringing refugees in their city. Now, the French government can force them, and we will see what's going to happen after the event of Paris. The only candidate to the presidency, or I will say political figure, that so far has spoken is Marine Le Pen. She made a speech this morning, and she said that we have to close the border and we have to take those people out, send them back. If you look at the people that are coming to France, Silvio, it's not family, it's not women and children that are fleeing the war. It's young kids from 20, 25 years old that are very strong. They are not fleeing a war. They are coming to start a war in Europe. That
right.
makes a big difference.
I agree.
And
we
need
this
to
is,
see that.
Yes, and
you
you're
are,
making
yeah.
a...
You are? Yeah.
No, you're making an excellent point. I just wanted to make a quick point. You're making an excellent point that when you see these pictures on television, these you know, you see the video of these people, you don't see a lot of you know, you don't see a lot of families, you don't see a lot of young women with small children. You do see a lot of young men who
very young,
and
very small.
Right. This is the profile of very much the profile. Of a terrorist, potential terrorist. Now, let me ask you this, because you said invasion, and I don't disagree with you, and I want to hear Michael on this as well. I don't disagree with you that this is a premeditated invasion. I don't disagree with you on that. But I also think, and I want to hear from both of you on this, I also think, we'll go to Rosine first, I also think that this invasion, which I agree with you, that's what it is, but I think this also got out of control. I think the politicians thought, okay, we'll be politically correct, we'll bring some in, and then it just got totally out of control, Rosine. So premeditated invasion, I don't disagree with you, but I also think the politicians in Europe, like Angela Merkel, this thing just got totally out of control. I don't think they were expecting the numbers, Rosine.
I don't agree. I think that they know what they are doing. Let me just tell you, I understand that in Syria, some people want to leave, but I happen to know a lot of people because I have family, ex-family, and I have still friends from Syria. And they said that the people that came and fight in Syria were not Syrians. A friend of mine that lives in Aleppo, with the whole family is there. They said they stay in the house. They cannot get out. He said, this is not people from our country. So where do they come from? And when your country is invaded, or when you have a problem in your country and you are mal, you don't run out of the country. You stay in your country and you defend your country. This is
right.
not what's happening. And the number, as you say, that now Madame Merkel is so surprised that they come. No, because she has a number every day on her table, on her desk.
Mm-hmm.
And she does not do anything. She still has not stopped anything. Now, what is going to stop those people is the people of the Germans themselves or the French themselves have to rise. Or the army has to do something because it's going to be a total disaster.
Right. Let me ask Michael the same question. We'll take a break, and then I want to come back and do a quick segment on the political future. Michael, I said that I don't disagree with Rosine or with you that this is an invasion, but I just made the point that that this invasion got out of control. Do you agree with that or disagree with it?
It's quite possible. As you asked me in the previous question, which I don't think I quite answered, is prior to Merkel speaking out saying that Germany will welcome all refugees regardless of the numbers or where they came from, most of the refugees were trying to go to the UK and via France, and they were trying to go to the UK, you know, because they love, you know, the tea and, you know, the nice cut dress suits of the British and everything, not bad, because the British welfare state was the most generous one. Now they're all going to Sweden and Germany because the leaders of those countries opened their mouths and they're saying, you know, we have everything you want here, come here, we are welcoming you with open arms. And I agree with Rosine in terms of the people coming are not refugees. Many of them are actually better dressed than I do sometimes. I encourage people to search on the internet about these actually quote-unquote refugees in the Netherlands who were complaining about the fact that they didn't have TVs in their rooms, that they hated the food, and that the 12 euros a week that were getting, it was not enough, it was an insult, and they threatened, they were, the lady, a very young girl lady, I think that she's not older than 23, 24, she was threatening that if the situation didn't improve, she will go back to Syria.
Wow.
So perhaps
amazing.
That's what they should do.
That's what they should do. We're going to take a little break, and then when we come back, I want to ask Michael and Rosine about the future, the impact of all of this happening in Europe, and the political impact, not just in France, but everywhere. We'll be right back. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas. Fascinating program tonight with our good friends Michael and Rosine talking about what's going on in Europe. Of course, all of this because of this horrific terrorist attack in Paris. Let me ask both of you. I know you're very much in touch with the political situation in Europe. Let me go to Rosine first. This is, you mentioned Madame Le Pen talking about closing the borders. I've also read that there is has been an increase in the number of the American media calls them right wing parties, but they're really, I think they're more nationalistic parties. I think it's unfair to call them right wing because I just think that's a political slur actually on many of these parties. But Rosine, do you believe that these incidents, not just this, but the ISIS and the Russian plane, and all of this piling on top of each other, that this is going to have a political consequence in France and elsewhere, Rosine?
Yes, I don't only believe, I hope so. I hope that it's going to take a totally different direction in the next election. Otherwise, we are finished. It's the same thing for the United States, by the way. But in France, the election, although you have Marine Le Pen, what you call extreme right, which she is not, it's just a plain conservative. Now, this party, as Michael knows very well, has been founded by the father of Marine Le Pen. Now, recently, there was a fight between the father and the daughter, and this did not help the party. Many people left, but they are still on the right side. But the danger in France is that you have some of the right wing. And, you know, France is very well known to have a lot of little party, different party, a lot of ego of people that want their own party, want to do this, want to do that. So you have a lot of different parties that will not last long, but for now they are on the scene, so we have to deal with them. Some of them are very nice people. Most of them are right-wing, too. But some of those right-wing are now trying to make a deal with the left for the election in order to stop the Front National. And let me tell you, I think this is not going to go very well for the left because Paris now, and so many dead, and so many stress, on every single French person, if a party become an associate of the left in order to stop, only to stop the Front National, they are going to go down the drain. It's not going to happen. I think we have now enough French people that are really ready to rise. We'll see. We'll
right.
see, because We can also have elections that are not fair. We can also have something not very kosher in the voting system. We can also have that. But as far as I know, and I am connected with a lot of different little parties, they are
right.
ready for a change.
Yes. Michael, let me give you 5 minutes. Tell me how you... what you think about the political impact of all of this. I've shared with both of you articles that have come, you know, in the news about the rise of many of these parties. I don't like to call them right wing, because that sometimes people misunderstand what that means. I tend to call them more nationalistic, people who want to protect their country. Maybe I'm wrong, but that's how I see them. But Michael, what do you think of all of this?
Well, you're right in regards to the definition, the name that should be given to these parties in Europe, especially in Western Europe. Anything to, you know, anything that's 1 millimeter to the right of Lenin, it's, you know, it's a Nazi, pretty much, and I'm not exaggerating. Out of all the Western European countries, the ones that I think are better positioned for what's coming is the French. At least they have Marine Le Pen, which is a very viable candidate for the presidency for the elections in 2017. Then in the UK, you have the UKIP party, which I think, again, is a party that's growing exponentially among the discontent of British people with both the Labour and the Conservative Party. And in the Netherlands, you also have some parties in Denmark. Actually, in Sweden, I was reading yesterday in the news that the fastest growing party, it's a party that's anti-immigration in Sweden, of all places, which is such an quote-unquote welcoming society, to the point where they're suicidal at some point. At the same time, I'm a little bit concerned and apprehensive, because you see the declarations of politicians right after this happened. You see Frau Merkel going out and saying, we cannot blame the Syrian refugees for what happened. And then it turns out that at least one of these terrorists is actually a quote-unquote refugee. We have other people or leaders saying that, no, they, you know, refugees, they have nothing to do with this. They're poor people, that, you know, they're victims, et cetera, et cetera. You see a lot of people, even in France right now, that, you know, they should be taking a stance that's more energetic, more patriotic. I read that something Racine wrote, which I totally agree with. It had to do with someone taking a piano to this venue, to the Bataclan, and start playing, I think it was that song by John Lennon, instead of, and Racine said it very well. I mean, these people should be playing La Marseillaise, you know, and making a big deal of being patriotic. You know, love and peace and love would conquer all. Yeah, love will conquer all. Let's see what happens. You know what I mean? That's what happened after the horrible attack on Charlie Hebdo. Everything is love and you know, coexistence and et cetera, et cetera. Where did that get us? I think that people in Europe need to be more realistic of the danger of the illegal immigration that was going on and the danger of Islam. Are all Muslims terrible, you know, terrible people, terrorists? Of course not. But we don't know who these Muslim immigrants are, all these quote-unquote refugees are. We have no idea, because we don't have, there are so many that it's pretty much impossible to keep track of them. So it is something that's very, very dangerous for Europe right now. Again, I agree with Racine, which you referred to this as an invasion. This is an invasion, and you know, invasions are bad no matter what, but this is not an invasion of our superior civilization. These people are not bringing us, you know, the railroads and law and respect for women and children and animals. On the contrary, these are civilizations that are backward, are medieval. They actually advocate for beheading, stoning of women, genital mutilation, and the list goes on and on and on. So the European people better wake up and get these corrupt politicians out of power.
You're exactly right, and I agree with both of you. It is an invasion, and you're right. The people, I'm all for love and understanding, but I think that these terrorists are going to have to be dealt with very harshly, and they're going to have to be dealt with harshly in Europe, as well as in the Middle East. And one thing about immigration, you know, the three of us are immigrants to the United
yep.
States. We're naturalized citizens. We're immigrants
to
the United
States. And you and I, we're refugees. Because we left our country
for
political reasons.
That's right. And we're both conservative by the grace of God,
yes.
Michael.
That's right. But we both, listen, we learned the language. We learned the
right.
language. We became Americans. I come from, you know, German family. You know, my German grandfather, and they immigrated to Colombia. One of the first things they do is to learn the language. They actually Hispanicized their names. You know, Herman became Herman, Felix, they put it with an accent. They made it up to the point where the only living relative, the closest relative, only living relative to my grandfather, who passed away 2 years ago or so, she is still, even though she's German, 100%, she lived in Colombia and left in the 70s. Every time she talks to me, she doesn't talk to me in German. She talks to me in Spanish because she likes to practice,
right,
because she lived in Colombia for such a long time. So, again, I'm not opposed to many of these people. If we're going to take the refugees, perfect. Let's take the Christians. What's going on
right
with the Coptic Christians? What's going on with the people in Syria? These communities that have been there for millennia. Now we don't take those. Obama is receiving, actually, people as we speak right in New Orleans and Baton Rouge in Louisiana with the help of the Catholic Charities, which, again, defies all logic.
Right, but we'll have to leave that. We'll have to leave that for the next program, Michael. We're out of time, Rosine and Michael. So thankful to both of you for joining us tonight. But I will say one last thing, what I was trying to say about the three of us being immigrants. Immigration is a great thing, but it has to be orderly and it has to be structured. You can't just have people come into your country that you don't know who they are and you don't know their intentions. There has to be an orderly process. Otherwise, you have chaos, as we're seeing to some degree here in the United States, but certainly over in Europe. Rosine, as always, you're absolutely great. Michael, as always, you're absolutely great. Thank you so much. And I have a funny feeling we're going to be doing one of these shows very quickly because this situation is very fluid in Europe. But thank you so much to both of you. Have a wonderful evening and keep up the great work.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us, and Godspeed, and I hope your father recovers.
Yes,
yes. I hope everything's fine. Yeah.
Yes, we're certainly hoping that. I'm going to go by tomorrow and see them, but so far so good. So
good.
As I keep saying to my friends, keep praying. That's the best solution. Thank you so much, Michael. Thank you so much, Rosine.
Thank you. Good night.
Good
Thank
night. Well, that's going to do it, folks. Thank you so much for listening to our program tonight. Very interesting topic, very complicated topic, to say the least. And we're grateful with friends like Michael and Rosine who can explain it to us. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas. We're going to be picking up this topic and a few other things when we speak to Bill Katz, the editor of Urgent Agenda, on Sunday night. Good night, everybody.